Today's Syndicate podcast is brought to you by Coral, a company I'm incredibly passionate about and recently joined in, where we're focused on funding the 99% of businesses that venture capital overlooks, i.e. the ones not going for a billion-dollar plus exit. If you're a startup or small business looking for non-dilutive, fast, inexpensive growth capital without the BS bank terms, please visit thesyndicate.vc/coral. That's C-O-R-L to learn more and apply. And if you're an accredited investor or a startup looking for venture funding, you know the drill. Thesyndicate.vc for more details. But now, let's get on with the program.
With tech startups in Russia, they seem to be, they're very technically sound. They've got great developers and can spin up these teams of 10, 15 really solid, genuinely skilled developers and can say, hey, you know, we want to do, like, just for example, like this marketing automation platform that's going to incorporate like the, you know, the best of this one and the best of this tool and the best of this tool and combine all these things. And we can do that because we have 15 amazing developers that work for relatively little and are really great. But when it comes time to actually pushing them on the business and how they're going to scale it, market it, secure IP, and really make it a genuinely viable and profitable business, they fall flat. And so, you know, I always say, it's great that you guys have tech, but come to us with an awareness of your business needs and what you need to actually make the company work, or some previous, you know, hard business experience in addition to the tech.
Welcome to The Syndicate, the podcast about the investors behind the overnight successes. It takes years, it takes money. On this show, we interview the top angel investors, venture capitalists, and startups to share what it really takes to succeed with startup investing. I'm your host, Matt Ward, and I'm a serial entrepreneur and angel investor. And I believe startups are the future, and angel investing is the best way to build real, true wealth. To find out more about us, please visit thesyndicate.vc. But now, let's get on with the show. Hey guys, welcome to The Syndicate, the show where we get the world's best and most interesting investors. Today, I've got Jeffrey Donenfeld. We're running this one off the cuff. It's going to be exciting. Jeffrey's over at Boomtown Boulder. He's one of the top accelerators in Boulder, at least in my opinion, from what I've heard, and wanted to get him on the program. So thanks for coming today, Jeffrey.
Hey, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. It's good to talk with you.
So you were saying before we hopped on that you were just in Russia recently talking with VCs and startups over there. Would love to jump to that.
Yeah. I guess if you want to just jump right in here, I just got back last week, just in time to make it to Boomtown's 10th demo day at the Boulder Theater, which was the closing event for Boulder Startup Week. But in Russia was a great trip. I was there for about 3 weeks and was doing a public lecture tour that was under grant, sponsored by the U.S. State Department through an organization called the American Councils, which is kind of a collaboration between U.S. and Russia, if you can imagine that, that aims to connect Russian businesses and American businesses and Russian entrepreneurs and businessmen with or business people with U.S. business people. And so the way it all got started, I'll just give you the quick overview. Last year, I hosted a Russian business person at Boomtown, and he kind of came over to Boulder, showed him, you know, what we're up to at Boomtown, and he kind of shadowed me, and we developed a rapport. At the other side of the program was me going to Russia, just as a cultural exchange and business exchange. But what we ended up turning it into was a tour to a bunch of cities in Russia, in which I was speaking and consulting with a bunch of Russian VCs as well as startup accelerators and startups on how Russian businesses, Russian startups can make themselves more attractive to US venture cash and accelerators and incubators, et cetera, and considerations for moving to the US.
Was this, go ahead.
No. I mean, I can keep going, but you know,
was this before or after the Kaspersky stuff and the US government started cracking down on Russia?
This was after. I mean, I literally just got back last Thursday. So I was just there. To be honest, this week I was going into my wallet to pay for something, and I ended up pulling out rubles from my wallet because I just hadn't cleaned my wallet out yet. So it's pretty fresh. I'm glad to be back in this time zone. But the tour took me to St. Petersburg, Moscow, Kazan, Sochi, Adler, Nabryshny, Chelny, and Chistopol. And we met with some really great VCs, and it was certainly interesting. Both talking to companies, sometimes through an interpreter, which was an interesting experience as well, and really hearing their questions and how they thought about the U.S. market and pitching their businesses.
What were some of the trends or things that you noticed that stuck out?
I think that, so first of all, startups are dying to move to the U.S. market, they're all keenly aware of the market size in Russia and its relationship to the market size for startups in the U.S., which is a huge, huge difference. A lot of the companies that I was talking to were interested in automating ad tech and automating like communication processes. And then there was a bunch of companies that are interested in putting their companies or doing things on the blockchain, which I always, you know, think is interesting to hear from startups, because I'm always a little leery of whether it's a, you know, it's a real thing and it's a real implementation of blockchain technology, which is so buzzy nowadays, or if that's just a buzzword. The other big trend, and you know, this is part of what I talk to them about. One of my little bullet points that I try to cover in deficiencies and applications that I see to the Boomtown program from Russian and Eastern European companies, and just some trends, is, you know, with tech startups in Russia, they seem to be they're very technically sound. They've got great developers and can spin up these teams of 10, 15 really solid, genuinely skilled developers, and can say, hey, you know, we want to do, like, just for example, like this marketing automation platform that's going to incorporate like the best of this one and the best of this tool and the best of this tool, and combine all these things. And we can do that because we have 15 amazing developers that work for relatively little and are really great. But when it comes time to actually pushing them on the business and how they're going to scale it, market it, secure IP, and really make it a genuinely viable and profitable business, they fall flat. And so, you know, I always say, it's great that you guys have tech, but come to us with an awareness of your business needs and what you need to actually make the company work, or some previous, you know, hard business experience in addition to the tech.
How do you hammer that home to people? Because you do see that, especially in entrepreneurial markets.
Yeah, I mean, I try to hammer it home by telling, you know, by just letting them know that this is what works for our companies in the past, and these are the convolutions that you're going to go through. You know, in the Boomtown program, we are connecting our companies with industry leading mentors in whatever field they need, but we're not just doing that. We have a pretty robust in-house staff and in-house educational staff, and a great mentor network that helps us teach, that works individually with each company to really go in and pick apart the nuts and bolts of the company, take apart the whole business model and put it all back together. And if you don't have the business strength or the business knowledge to handle that, you're not going to get as much out of the program as you could. That being said, you don't have to be on your 10th company when you enter the program. And in fact, you can come in with no knowledge, but just the desire to learn and kind of the mindset of like, oh, you want to take apart our company and look at every single thing we do? Like, yes, definitely. Let's do that. And let's figure out the real truth in here. That's the kind of mindset we're looking for.
Well, it's hard when you have to cut in half the baby to find the problem.
It is. It is hard. But sometimes that's what's necessary.
Oh, it's always necessary.
The other trend, and if I can keep going, and please interrupt me if I'm going on too long here. The other trend regarding that, hammering that home, is just, I think, kind of in like a mindset, culture, ego thing. With a bunch of the companies I spoke with individually, they have a hard time sometimes admitting that they need help with certain things. Saying, hey, we actually don't have experience building a startup, but we've got a bunch of tech. Like, could you guys maybe help us with that? You know, it's like the answers, when I ask them the questions about the business technicals, they want to answer and act like they know everything, which I admire, but is not necessary. I mean, a lot of times the best position is to be humble and say, actually, we're not sure how we're going to market this, but we think we have something really special, and that's why we need your help.
The best way to raise money is to ask for guidance, and the best way to get guidance is to ask for money.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right about that.
How can Boomtown and other accelerators target international startups and get them to come?
You know, I think at Boomtown, that's a good question. Our program is a healthy mix of both US-based and international startups. And, you know, we don't really discriminate, and we look at companies from all over the world. I mean, I have calls, I use internet calling, I use VoIP calling all the time because I'm constantly on calls all over the world. But I think, you know, our in-house staff and our expertise in dealing with international startups is really a huge benefit for us. I mean, companies come in and I get the question all the time, like, oh, do we have to already be incorporated in the US to join your accelerator? And how do we do that? And No, you don't. As an international startup, you can come in. And one of the things that we work with our companies on is looking at their structure of their business. Are you a business based in France or Spain, or are you a US LLC, or are you a Delaware C Corp? And no matter what, we'll work with the companies to get them reorganized and restructured in a way that's going to be the best for their expanding ongoing business and the best to, you know, for VCs or whatever they feel like their next step is.
How do you use and leverage that trip that you made to Russia and outside capital? So the attracting LPs is one of the biggest challenges always. And if you can get LPs where other people aren't, then it's easier.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, that's a good question. And I think that in terms of this particular project I just completed in Russia, I think a lot of it is branding and continuing those relationships with VCs and just all the partners that I set up there. I mean, at this point, we're constantly expanding our network and constantly working with our mentor network to continue to offer them as much help and support as we possibly can, both during the program and after they graduate for the life of their company, which is hopefully, you know, forever or until a big event occurs, you know, a big buyout or whatever else happens to the company, which is hopefully positive. And so it was certainly satisfying connecting with, you know, some of the biggest VCs in Russia. And, you know, like last year I was in Saudi Arabia connecting with VCs and doing all sorts of travel, connecting with people. I'd love to be able to continue to connect our alumni companies with international VCs if those are the markets they're looking towards moving to.
I saw something in the paper recently that the US government was looking on limiting Chinese investment into US companies.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I haven't tracked super specifically, but I know that there's a lot of people talking about that. I don't know how that really affects us yet. Our funds are just from us. Yeah.
I meant more in terms of startups that want to raise money later on. It just seems so isolationist.
It is isolationist, but yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't think that, well, in terms of structuring a company, I think there's a lot of ways to do it. And if you definitely need to be raising money from the Chinese, I think there's certainly ways to structure yourselves to make that a viable option. So in saying that China is not letting, you know, Chinese companies invest.
No, it's the US, not China.
Oh, excuse me.
China's excited about it, but the US says we're not going to take your money. And that's, it's an even weirder dynamic.
Yeah, that is kind of a weird dynamic. I think that's interesting. I think we'll have to see how that plays out, but I don't think it's going to be an absolute thing.
Sure hope not. That's definitely a way to increase problems worldwide. So I want to jump now to Boulder. Let's go a little bit closer to home.
Yeah.
What's the Boulder ecosystem like? We like to look into ecosystems.
Boulder ecosystem is thriving. And here in Boulder, I'd like to think, and you know, at Boomtown, we like to think that it's luckily a very give first kind of ecosystem. We've got a bunch of VCs, a bunch of accelerators and incubators. And I'd like to think that we're still a small enough community that we all know each other and can really give back to each other before taking too much. So
how much is that? Is the cannabis talking?
How much is the canopy, the cannabis accelerator? I'm always glad to get their emails and messages. And you know, I know they do their demo days. I'd like to think they're doing really great. And it's such a unique opportunity to be in Colorado and have a specific cannabis accelerator. And that's been a huge part of the ecosystem. We get applications occasionally for cannabis based companies, and I'm always happy to refer them back over to Canopy and help those guys out. I'm also interested to see, you know, in our area and in the whole space, you know, this notion of the vertical accelerators kind of cropping up a little bit. At Boomtown, we work with Cable Labs and Comcast NBC Universal and Copic, and they have some great corporate partners. And I think that Canopy is doing with focusing specifically on cannabis. And, you know, there's a couple others that are more vertical specific. I think that's an interesting way to parse out. I was just talking with a company who went through the BetaWorks vision base camp, computer vision base camp. And I think that was another interesting vertical accelerator model.
Yeah, the BetaWorks guys are great. We had, had Matt Hartman on the program before.
Oh, nice. Yeah, BetaWorks is great. And they're doing some really unique and very laser-focused programs that offer a lot of good value.
So I want to jump to the lightning round. How's that sound, Jeffrey?
Sure thing.
No pressure. First investment that you guys made.
Oh, man. That's a good question. That was way before my time. Okay. Chewy, maybe? Woof.
Chewy. Okay, it sounds like two dog-based ones. What
Parkify, perhaps, was a good one. Kickfurther has been a great one for us, and those are all some of our early investments. And they're still going. I mean, yeah.
How long has Boomtown been around?
We've been around for, I think, 5 or 6 years. This is the demo day that we just completed was our 10th cohort, so demo day X. And we're really glad to do 10 awesome cohorts. We do 2 per year. At one point, we did 3 per year. And then coming up in next week is the first demo day for the farm, which is in their first cohort. That's our accelerator that we're running in cooperation with Comcast NBC Universal out in Atlanta. So that'll be, I guess, our 11th demo day as the Boomtown Acceleratours and the first demo day for the farm accelerator.
I just wanted to take a quick time out to tell you that the Syndicate podcast comes to you from yours truly, Matt Ward, has no ads and is designed to help angel investors and tech startups succeed. We don't monetize. I do this 100% out of the goodness of my heart and the beautiful networking opportunities to get to chit chat with some of the smartest, best angels and VCs around the globe and to help you guys. If you appreciate this, tell an angel or VC about us, refer us to a startup, or even leave a review. If you go to thesyndicate.vc/iTunes, I know it's clunky, it's terrible, but if you leave a review in there, it really helps us with reaching more angel investors and making the program as awesome as possible. If you want to learn a little bit more about us, get some more inside information, get access to our 20-step investor checklist, and get invites into all of our roundtables, including cryptocurrency, artificial intelligence, consumer tech with Tim O'Reilly, and more, go to thesyndicate.vc. If you go there, subscribe, get on our email list, you'll get all of our best content delivered to you completely for free, right to your email address. If you like this podcast and want more like it, thesyndicate.vc. Now, let's get on with our podcast.
Staying busy. What are top companies to date so far? I know you mentioned a couple.
Yeah, I think that Bitsbox has been doing great. They went on Shark Tank. Kickfurther is one that's a lot of fun. Photofeeler is always fun to work with. ThrivePass, that offers fitness credits for employees, is doing well, and we actually use ThrivePass. I use ThrivePass, you know, every month. I think that's a really great one. Let's see, Patientory did an ICO, which was really interesting. Fans Unite, which is a sports betting platform, is having some interesting things happen to them, especially after in the last couple of weeks with all these sports betting regulations kind of being opened up a little bit. They've really taken off. So it's always nice to hear from them. Darius, their CEO, is a really great guy. Always good to hear from Kleaxa. I could keep going. There's so many great ones.
And then there's the misses. Anti-Portfolio?
You know, that's a little bit beyond me. I know there've been a couple that haven't done as well, and I'd like to think that we continue to stay in contact with them and help them, you know, pivot to their next venture, or, you know, make the most of what they're up to.
We never like to point out the ones that don't win. I mean, the ones that win that you guys forgot to go through the program, like the Uber that applied that you ended up passing.
there've been a bunch, and there's always applications that I get that we don't end up investing in or whatever. And then I get an email, you know, 6 months later from the founders, like, hey, quick update. Like here's what we're up to now. And we just raised $10 million. I don't know if there's any specific that I can think of off the top of my head, but I've certainly had many of those experiences. But, you know, that's kind of the thing with selecting companies and really staying true to ourselves is there's certain companies and certain profiles of companies that are great fits for our accelerator model. That's very team focused and based on really specific education and not as much and just on just a huge investment. And so for a lot of the companies that we interview, they're great companies. They have really great ideas with really great teams, but for one reason or another, they're just not a good fit for our specific program. And it's always nice to see when those companies aren't fit for our program, but are great companies, that they go on and say, hey, we got into this other program that is a great fit, or we raised VC cash, or did crowdfunding, or did an ICO that's actually a better fit for us than what Boomtown would have provided.
And it's always good when you have options as well.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
What industries are you most excited about today?
I'm excited right now. I'm excited in working on hardware and connectivity industries that are related to hardware and telecom. That's kind of in support of our relationship with Comcast NBC Universal, as well as Cable Labs. They're offering us a lot of great support there. Specifically, I think that AR and VR are really interesting areas right now. I was just talking to a company that does some AR products, and I've seen some really interesting demos in this last week, and actually spent a bunch of time with that new Oculus Go. It's like $200 VR headset, wireless. That's pretty awesome. Let's see, other tech that I think is interesting lately has been, you know, artificial intelligence. I was psyched that they were talking about Roku's Basilisk on Silicon Valley this season. And then conversational user interfaces are going to be big and getting even bigger. I now have both an Alexa and a Google Home Mini listening to me as I speak.
Oh, that's terrifying. Now you have two of the evils.
It's a little terrifying. Sometimes they talk to each other.
Oh yeah. That's a no-no. That's even more down. We don't like to share.
I know. Right.
What, outside of ICOs, what's overhyped?
What's overhyped? I mean, crowdfunding it can be good for some companies, but it's not always the go-to thing, right? Just in terms of taking the next steps with your business. There's so many companies that go up there and, you know, never deliver after crowdfunding, or just don't have a good use case for, like, why would our fans want to do this? And we Kickfurther, one of the Boomtown alumni companies, actually kind of had a not a take on crowdfunding, but their own spin on funding for small companies that we thought was, you know, a good counterpoint to this. But yeah, that's one of the things out there. And then, you know, we kind of talked about before just the notion of these big VCs and these big steps up that companies have to take from startup phase to suddenly having a ton of cash. And you know, I think that there needs to be a good middle ground there, like we discussed.
Yeah, and what we were discussing here, guys, is Coral. I need to pitch it a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
Coral.io. We're funding the 99% of businesses that VCs and banks overlook. Essentially, if you're not building a $1 billion business, you're screwed. No one's going to give you money except us. You can really look into it. Banks are worthless unless you want to put your house on the line. You don't have a chance of getting much. And VCs, they aren't going to talk to you if you're building a $10 to $20 million business. We'll try to help. Coral.io. Just reach out, say hey, and we'll see what we can do. Anyways, back to that, no more pitchiness. That was way too much for me.
That was good.
Yeah, awesome. The faster you do it, the quicker it's over and the better it is. One last important question for you, Jeffrey. Daily, weekly basis, where do you go to stay informed? Podcasts, blogs, newsletters, all the good stuff.
Well, you know, I like to keep up on the Syndicate podcast, which is a...
Oh, I like it. Another good pitch.
You know, yes, pretty solid option there. My other, you know, I do the NPR story of the day. I do a lot of 99% Invisible. I do a lot of Science Friday. I obsessively browse a couple select subreddits. Yeah, read a lot of just random tech news and dive and go into, you know, I have the typical problem with Wikipedia. I'll see one random thing and have three hours of fascinated clicking and end up somewhere else. So those are my typical sources. But, you know, I got to say, the best source really is talking to you and people like you and just staying active in the community. I think some of the most insightful bits of knowledge that I got this week were, you know, just attending Boomtown's demo day and talking to members of the community about what they thought about the company's demo day and where they see the technology going.
Yeah, you can't really do much better than getting it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, it's great. And that's the cool thing about our, you know, working so closely with our corporate partners, like the guys over at Cable Labs, is can have them in for meetings or go get lunch and say, hey, like, you have 30 years of experience in the cable industry. What do you think about this tech? Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. That's the trick behind this podcast, guys. I just get to get some of the smartest, best people in the world and say, hey, you're awesome. Let me stroke your ego, have you on the podcast and network and steal all of your greatest tips and tricks. And
sounds good
for everyone listening. Thanks. Thanks so much for coming on today, Jeffrey. Now, here's your chance. Tell me a little more about Boomtown. Why should people check you out, and where can they go?
Yeah. So Boomtown Accelerator is a Boulder, Colorado based startup accelerator. You can find us at boomtownaccelerator.com. We run a 12-week startup accelerator program that consists of a series of classes, workshops, and lectures, connections with our 400 to 500 person strong mentor network, demo day at the end, which is this year, this past one was the culminating event of Boulder Startup Week. Perks and benefits in collaboration with GAN, the Global Accelerator Network, that add up to about $1.7 million $20,000 cash in exchange for 20%. In exchange for 6% common stock.
20%
equity.
Would be quite.
No, not 20%. It's $20,000, 6%. The real value of the Boomtown program is in the program mentors and connections. The cash is really just to get you through the program. Yeah, so we're focused on tech, specifically hardware and connectivity for the cable and telecom industry. Applications are open now. When you apply online at boomtownaccelerator.com/apply, it goes straight to my inbox. So feel free to submit your application at any time. And coming up in the next few weeks, we're finalizing the application pool and starting our final round interviews. So get that application in soon.
And keep in mind, guys, they have great connections with Mother Russia. So if you need any connections over there, Putin's on your list of ideal investors, then make sure to reach out.
There you go. I have a piece up on my trip in Russia and what I was talking about and a couple of those VCs that I'm always happy to make connections with on my personal website, which is just my name, jeffreydonenfeld.com.
We'll throw links and all the good stuff to the show notes. Donenfeld has one N in both spots, guys. So it's spellable once you think about it. Thanks for coming on today, Jeffrey.
Yeah, sure thing, Matt. Thanks very much for having me.
And thanks for tuning in, guys. If you've enjoyed this, you want to empower us and make sure we're able to keep doing this. thesyndicate.vc/iTunes. Leave a review in Apple Podcasts so that more people can find the show. We can get more great guests like Jeffrey and we can keep grinding. And until next time, just go drink some coffee and crush it. You know what you got to do. Cheers. Thanks for listening to The Syndicate, the podcast where angel investors and VCs go off the cuff and discuss the ins and outs of the venture ecosystem. We're here to share the tips and tricks of the best in the business because startups and tech make the pie bigger. To learn more about us and what we do, visit thesyndicate.vc. And to join our syndicate on AngelList, just go to thesyndicate.vc/join and get access to some of the best startup deals. This has been another episode of The Syndicate. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys again next week.